Good evening, it's 2 minutes past seven on Friday the 15th of May. It's great to have you with us. This is the Friday Sports Show. Just coming up to 7:05, you're with myself, Mike Goodyear. This is the Friday Sports Show on 92.3 FM, Halton Community Radio. Bit of a different show this week. Glyn Davis, the normal co-host on the show, is suddenly getting Menorca. So I've got three fantastic guests on the show for you. We've got a voice that one of you will instantly recognise, Mark Buckley.
Hiya, Mike. How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Great to have you on the show. Front Court Minutes Manager, Steve Wilkes.
Good evening.
Great to have you with us, Steve, and thanks for taking the time yet again. You've been very supportive of HCR throughout the whole season. It's great to have you on the show. And Run Call Minutes board member, Steve Pritchard. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Before we start the show today, Steve, I believe you've got a bit of announcement on behalf of the club regarding Alan Jones.
Yeah, that's right. Alan's the club president, and he's currently in hospital following a heart attack. So everybody at the club, and I'm sure all the fans, would like to wish Alan a full and speedy recovery.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And that goes for everybody here at HCR too, and I'm sure all of the listeners tuning into the show. Now, tonight we're having a bit of a different show, as I mentioned. We're having a bit of a football phone-in. If you'd like to contact us and discuss anything football related in the studio, you can phone us on 01928 835 291. We'll take some of the calls and we'll go live on air with those. And if you'd like alternatively to email the studio, you can do that as well, studio@hcr.org.uk. We'll start with Run Call Minutes. I'll shorten my question. I asked you this before the show, but just as a quick summary of the season from the three of you. How do you think the season as a whole went for Run Call Minutes? Steve?
Good question. Disappointed, if I'm being honest. I know we've reached the cup final, and the club have progressed slightly, shall we say. But from a personal point of view, disappointing to finish 11th. You know, we knew we weren't going to win the league. Not when you've got teams like Fylde and New Mills to compete against with their finances. We were hoping for a top six finish. Unfortunately, that's not happened. Like I said, we got to a cup final. But overall, from a personal point of view, it's disappointing.
Steve, from your point of view, Steve Pritchard?
Well, obviously, I think Steve has said it, really. It wasn't sort of a league position where we'd hope to be. We'd hope to be a little bit higher, sort of certainly top 10, say top 6 would have been great. From a kind of club point of view, the sort of the good news from our point of view is the fact that all the finances and all that kind of stuff worked out as we expected, and the club has managed to make it through another season without any kind of financial worries at all.
And Mark, your thoughts on the season?
I think it needs putting in perspective. As a club, we're 3 years old. And I think in 3 years, from a standing start with nothing, I think we're doing all right, to tell you the truth. I really do. As Steve said, the club's on a financial backing. We're getting by. We're getting by on the field. Runcorn now have no divine right to be in the blue square, whatever it's called. The goal of league, I always call it, but that's in days gone by. And it's a very difficult division to get out of. Ask New Mills, ask Newcastle Town, have been in there for a while. Some good sides in there, and I think it's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of endeavour that is happening to get us up there. But I think we're solid at the minute, and I think it's a good footing for the club for the future, and that's what it's about, is putting the club on a good footing for the future.
Okay, we've had our first caller on the line. I believe he's got a question for Steve Wilkes. Are you there?
Hello, good evening.
Hi, could you just introduce yourself, and then you can ask your question.
Yeah, my name's Paddy. I'm a follower of Run Court Linnets, and I just wanted to say, Steve P, you're doing a great job on the site, but also I just wanted a quick question for Steve Wilkes over the season for Run Court Linnets. Basically, I know your career. I think you've done an excellent job wherever you've been, and I thought there'd been a better season for Linnets this season. Now, I know you've had your scenarios regarding players, etc., and everything, and the topsy-turvy, and players letting you down, and I just want you could actually enlighten us a little bit as to what actually went on, because I know for certain that all these situations and that lot, they weren't your fault and they weren't your doing. I just wondered if you could enlighten the listeners and those Runcorn fans that are listening out to you, if there's any info you could give us, Steve, you know.
Hiya, Paddy.
Yeah, good evening.
Yeah, it's like you say, it has been a bit of a topsy-turvy season.
Unfortunately, the players that have let me down are the ones that I brought to the club. You know, sometimes you can't help situations that have gone on. I mean, if I was to go into detail, probably people, you know, would be pulling their hair out. But we've had players this season that not only let me down, they've let the club down, and they've let the fans down more than anything. You've only got to look at the last 6 weeks. You know, I've been turning up to games at 10 to 2, trying to get older people that have said they're going to come, and they've had the phone switched off. We played away at Glossop a few weeks ago, and one player who I won't name rang me up at 4:30 and said, "I can't play tonight, I'm still drunk from yesterday." The same player didn't turn up 2 days later because he said he was mixing tape for Atomic Kitten. You know, and it went on and on. I spoke to another player the other Saturday morning. His wife had been ill, so I spoke to him on the Saturday to make sure he was available for the game. He said, "Yeah, I'll ring you back in 2 minutes," and he never rang me back. So, you know, these little things that... It's, I mean, I've been quoted as saying in the local paper that I've learnt more in the last 3 months than I have in me 12 years before as a manager, and it's true.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, like I said, these are the players that I brought to the football club, but I can assure people that these certain people won't be around next season.
Right, I can understand what you say there. I was just going to say that I've never known this happen before. You know, when you've been manager, like I say, when you was at, I know you was at Paddy and did a good job there, and at Darwin as well. I've never known players react and treat you like this. And well, I just wanted to come on and ask, see if I could get any more information for the listeners and for the all the fans. I post on the website, the Runcorn Linux website, and I'm always supporting it because, you know, I believe you're a good manager and I believe you'll do a good job, and hopefully next season, and you know, I'm looking forward to it, it'll be a lot better. And just for... Any Linux fans listening out there, you know, just get behind the manager and the team and the players that will be there. I know there'll be players being shipped out, and I don't blame you. And I mean, if any of them listening, then you just go as well. I don't want players like that playing for my team who are too drunk to play or don't bother turning up. Or I believe somebody went 2 entry races instead of turning up for a game. Is that true?
That is true, yeah.
All right.
Got told he was working.
Yeah.
And he was seen at Aintree for the Grand National, so but that's what you're up against.
I hope he didn't win, that's all I can say anyway. I hope his horse is still running. But, there you go. Yeah, just to that's just my call. I don't want to hog the airwaves, just to, you know, quick mention Steve P did a great job on the site, and yourself, Steve, you know, I'm behind you, I'll back you 100% all the way, you and your team, and the players you're getting, and that, you know, this season it's all the eggs are in one basket really with the final, and the league sort of like tailed off. But you know, I'm optimistic for next season, and good luck, pal, and I'm behind you all the way. And you're doing a great job at Holton Radio as well. Well done, guys.
Well, thanks a lot. It's nice to know that the website's appreciated as well.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Okay, thanks.
The Carla there talks about eggs in one basket. How much do you think the cup run impinged on the league farm, Steve?
Yeah, it did massively. I mean, obviously, we knew just after Christmas that we weren't going to win the league. And we had a decent run in the cup, got to the final of the cup, and then all of a sudden we started getting games called off. So it was a case of, you know, trying to rest players. I was leaving players out at the end because I wanted them fresh for last Monday. You know, we were playing players that we knew weren't going to be playing in the final, so that I could rest players. And it did become difficult because I think if you look at the last 18 league games, I don't think I named the same back four. This is not me looking for excuses because my defence has been shocking all season, and that's something that we'll put right in the summer. But yeah, it did have an effect. But I mean, you know, ask me if I'd rather the season end in February, not have a cup final, and you know, win one or two more league games, and I think we'd, you know, I'd have a cup final every year.
I think from the fans' reactions, they agree with you on that one as well, because the fans were incredible at Curzon, weren't they?
Fantastic. I mean, they've been fantastic all season, Mark. You know. But especially on Monday, I mean, somebody who came to watch the game, who hadn't been to see us all season, it said it was looked like we'd won the game at the end, you know, and it's fair credit to the fans, they've been brilliant all season.
Okay, fantastic stuff, a great opening to the show. We've got plenty more questions we've had in by email. Don't forget, if you want to call us in the studio, you can do so on 01928 835 291. We'll take a quick break now, we're back with you shortly. This is Crowded House and Weather with you.
Contact the studio on 01928 835 291.
Okay, you're listening to the Friday Sports Show. Just gone 7:15. We've got a great competition for you tonight, where you can win some DVDs of matches of this season for Runcorn Linnets. Steve Pritchard in the studio. Steve, do you want to tell listeners which DVDs they've got a chance of winning?
Yeah, they're actually historic DVDs. They're FA Cup and FA Trophy matches from 94, 91 and 86. So we've got Guiseley, Tranmere, Altrincham and Woking.
Okay, and a fantastic competition as well. I mentioned to you earlier, this is something you can't go on the internet and Google. Do you want to tell listeners what the question is to win those?
Yes, on Monday, obviously, we had the cup final, with people sort of tuning into the website to see what was going on. We had slightly increased number of hits on the website, so I've gone and had a look in the logs and gone to see how many page hits there were on the website on Monday. So if the listeners want to call or email in with their guess as to how many separate page hits there were on Monday, that's the 24 hours of Monday, and the closest will win the DVDs.
Yeah, and they'll win four DVDs, and also we've got four more. If you call into the studio tonight or email in, you'll be in with a chance of winning one of those as well. We spoke there about the Vodcat Cup final on Monday, and we're joined in the studio by Mike Scowcroft, of course, from the Sunday Sports Show. Mike, do you want to run through your report?
Yeah, I'm always very nervous. I don't mind writing them, but when I've got the Linnets manager in here listening to it at the same time, I hope I've tried to be fair, but we'll see how we go.
We haven't got any partition walling with you, so go ahead.
Okay, so Runcorn Linnets finished their season with a trip to Curzon Ashton on Monday evening to play New Mills in their first ever cup final since the formation of the new fans-owned club. Both Runcorn Linnets and New Mills had finished their league campaigns with 5-0 defeats away to St Helens Town and AFC Fylde respectively. However, while this didn't really affect Runcorn Linnets standing in the league, for New Mills it was a crushing blow as it cost them top spot in the league after a very impressive second half of the season. Despite having fantastic facilities at Curzon Ashton, the pitch needs a lot of work as it was mostly sand on Monday evening. Also, the ground is very exposed and there was a strong wind blowing across the pitch as the two teams kicked off. Runcorn were playing with the wind at their backs, but it was New Mills who adapted to the conditions quickest, and it only took them 5 minutes to get on a score sheet. As Runcorn Linnets failed to clear their box following a free kick, Scott McGowan sent a looping header at the back post over Robbie Holcroft to nestle into the back of the net. And while you would expect playing with the wind to be an advantage, forward passes were always running away from the Runcorn strikers and they struggled to latch onto them. Despite this, there was a couple of half chances for Rob White around the quarter hour mark, and a couple of minutes later, Steve Cunningham strike from 22 yards out looked to have the New Mills keeper beaten, but just flew past the post. After 23 minutes, Anthony Mert was in a good central position to get a header on target, but unfortunately he couldn't get much pace on it, and Higginbotham, between the sticks for New Mills, dealt with it easily. Runcorn Linnets won a corner in the 27th minute, but rather than getting them back in the game, it was New Mills that went further ahead as they quickly turned defence into attack with a breakaway down the right wing. New Mills captain Carlos Meakin did well to keep the ball in play and get a cross in past the Linnets defence, which Gary Karras turned in at the near post. At this point, both teams were really battling to get more goals as the game opened out. New Mills thought that they could kill the game as a contest before half-time, and Runcorn Linnets felt they needed to get one back before the break. However, shots from both sides did not really trouble either keeper. The last major action before half-time was a typical Cunningham pile driver, always rising well over the bar, which seems to be a compulsory element of each game he plays in. Therefore, as the players went off, it was New Mills 2, Runcorn Linnets 0, and the fans feared the worst.
Radio for Runcorn and Widnes. This is Halton Community Radio.
Runcorn Linnets started the second half playing into the wind, but as the sun was setting, the wind dropped considerably as well. Therefore, it was only the playing conditions underfoot that the teams were battling against. New Mills forced Robbie Holcroft into a couple of saves in the first 15 minutes of the second half, which he did well to keep hold of. However, there then followed a period of play during which Runcorn Linnets were in dominance. Steve Cunningham got another chance to take a free kick in a central position after a foul on Anthony Mert. This time it was on target, but easily saved. There were numerous corners and chances for Runcorn Linnets, but nothing quite came off. A Rob White cross was met by a Simon Myersko header, which was looping in, but a New Mills defender managed to get back to head the ball over the bar. Also, a penalty was denied for the Linnets after Simon Myersko was brought down within the 6-yard box, with the referee ruling that he'd taken the ball first. The work rate and pressure from Runcorn Linnets was much better than in the first half, but it was taking its toll on the players. Three substitutions were made in the last quarter of the game, as first Cunningham, then Pilkington and finally Mert were replaced by Damian Morrison, Chris Blundell and Barry Massey respectively. Despite the referee giving the game every chance by playing 5 minutes of injury time, the Linnets could not break down the well-organised New Mills defence, and it was the Derbyshire side that was celebrating at the final whistle. Overall, it was a good performance from both sides and a good showcase contest to finish off the Vodcat League season with. On balance, New Mills probably deserved the title, but personally I felt that the Linnets deserved at least one goal to reward their effort in the second half.
We're number one for Runcorn and Widnes, because we live in Runcorn and Widnes. Because we live in Runcorn and Widnes.
Okay, fantastic, Mike. Another great report there from Monday night. But, even given the defeat, a fantastic night for the club. Mark, the fans, as ever, in great form.
The fans were in great form. It's a shame the pitch wasn't. This is my personal opinion. I just would rather have seen that game played at a smaller ground with a better pitch. Curzon Aston, fabulous facilities, obviously. The pitch was terrible. Two good sides, and you just want them... All right, we'd love to win, but you just want to see a great game of football. I think that pitch was just crap.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. To be honest, I mean, it was rather ironic that the pitch was waterlogged for the first date, and then it turned into a desert for the second one, and they had to push back they were digging the pitch up, and because it got postponed, they had to push it back to the Tuesday morning.
Is that true? That's being ripped up.
It's being ripped up now. So I think it was a shame. It's a great facility, but the pitch was awful. Really was.
It looks even on the photos that have gone on various websites. It looks even worse than it actually looked from where we were stood. You think, well, it's pretty bad, and then you see the photos and realise it was terrible.
Yeah.
But, one of them things, isn't it?
Okay, great stuff. Loads more questions to go through. It's an interesting one, this, because it's at every level of football that money, give certain teams an advantage, and given that AFC filed in our division of being promoted this season, what's your take on money in the game, even at this level? Does it give certain teams an advantage? Is it a good thing or a bad thing for clubs like Runcorn Linnets?
It's a good question, Mike. I mean, it's very difficult, I think, for any club that's trying to sustain itself. If there's not a sort of a backer, a wealthy backer, throwing money at the club as some sort of hobby, it's very difficult, because at the end of the day, for every player that you put on the pitch... obviously, at this level, it's not necessarily wages; it's expenses you're trying to cover. But of course, you need to raise those funds in the first place, and yep. it's not easy, especially in the economic climate that we're in at the moment.
It leads on to a kind of another question we've had in: what would promotion mean, perhaps, Steve, in terms of the players that we've got at the club, and Steve Pritchard, in terms of the sustainability, the infrastructure that the club has got at the moment, is promotion necessarily a good thing for the club? Should it be something we should be aiming for, but with the backing and the infrastructure behind the club to take us up a division?
Well, if you ask that question of the chairman, he'll always sort of trot out the sustainability, that we've got to be able to sustain ourselves, and one of the things that is quite difficult at the current situation is that we're not playing in the town, and that means that we're spending thousands of pounds each year on rental, which, you know, to a certain extent is kind of dead money. It's just enabling us to play. So obviously it's very difficult to raise extra funds when the ground isn't yours. You know, every cup of tea, every pie, you know, that's money in somebody else's pocket, not in ours. So I personally, you could get criticised for having a lack of ambition, but really I think we'd struggle if we did get promoted before we're back in the town, because we do need to recognise the fact that it's going to require more money to play at the next level up.
Okay, in terms of the players that we've got, Steve, and the ambitions that the club have, promotion a good thing for the club, or is it, people say a year of consolidation, and but the ambition must be there to move up into the Unibond at some point.
Well, I don't think as a player or manager, if you haven't got that ambition, then you shouldn't be in the game. It's as simple as that. But we've got to be realistic. You talk about people like Fylde and New Mills, we've got backers galore. You know, we spoke outside. I was talking to Tory Hancock, the New Mills manager, on Monday, and their club generates, I think he said, £100,000 a year. You know, now we don't have that. We don't have a club, so money does play a big part, especially at this level. It'd be nice to have it, but you've got to work with the budget that you get. For some strange reason, a lot of clubs, and I think a lot of our own fans, think we have a massive, massive budget, and we don't. You know, the first thing you do when you speak to a player, the first question they ask you is, how much money are you going to give me? You know, not what the club, where's the club going to be in 2 or 3 years? And that's the way it is. As for getting promoted, obviously not with the players I've got at the moment, because they're not good enough to do that. So it's my job to try and progress from finishing 11th this season to try and bring a better player in for next season.
Yeah, you touched on a topic we've had a question about there, Steve. In terms of the player selection or how a club finds players, I mean, you'll know the answer to this as a manager, but for people listening, is it the fact that a player will consistently play in a team? Is it the ambition of the club, perhaps the travelling distance, expenses, players they've played with before? As a manager, how do you recruit players to a team?
Well, obviously, being a manager for quite a few years, I've been able to see players around the area. You know, I mean, I think I've brought 3 or 4 players that are at the club now that are with me that have played for me before. You know, I'm not one of these managers that will sit in on a Tuesday or Wednesday if we've no game, I'll go out and watch players. You know, you try and bring in a better player than you've got. You're always looking to bring in quality. But unfortunately, like I've just touched on, sometimes you speak to a player and the first question they're asking you is, how much money are you going to give me? They're not the kind of players we need at the club. You know, the kind of players we need are, you know, where the club going to be in a few years and what's the ambition. I mean, Steve Cunningham has done fantastic for me this year. We met in the summer. I tried to sign Steve when I was at Padiham a few years ago, because he lives over that way. And the first question he asked me when we sat down was, I want to be your captain. Not how much money, you know. Where do you see the club in 2 years was another question he asked. You know, not how much money you're going to offer me. Unfortunately, there's not many of those players out there, unfortunately.
We talked earlier about before we came on air, about Ashton Athletic, and the rumour is that they don't pay their players. How many Runcorn players do you think would play for nothing, in hypothetically? How many of those players have we got now that will just put the shirt on and go out and play football for the love of it? We know Cunny would.
Yeah, I mean, this is not me slagging my players off, because I've brought the players to the club, but I just want to try and get across a point of view that, you know, we got beat on Friday night at St. Helens, and I publicly sat my players down on the pitch, not for my benefit, not to try and show anybody. You know, it wasn't a publicity stunt like some people have said. It was because for 45 minutes I was embarrassed watching what I'd seen, and I wanted to embarrass my players as much as they'd embarrassed me for the 45 minutes. And then we got in the dressing room after, I walked in the bar and 2 players come up to me and said, "Oh, we're getting paid tonight." Now, you know, that's what you're up against. You know, we played on Monday and the players got paid on Monday, and certain players were asking for 2 weeks' wages because they played 2 games since they last got paid. And this is what you're up against. It's an absolute joke. And like I've said, this is not me slagging my players off in here, because they're my players that I've brought. And collectively, as a manager and as a team, we've not done well this year. You know, but those kind of players won't be at Runcorn Football Club next year.
Okay, in terms of the infrastructure that the club's got, I mean, we've mentioned a few aspects of that there. It's often been discussed on the forum about the merits, and I know the reason perhaps why we haven't got one, but the merits of a reserve team. As a manager, would that help the club? Or would it help clubs in general?
Yes, it definitely would. I mean, you know, one of the questions I got asked when I was in, when I had my interview for the job, was, would I like a reserve team? And yes, I would like a reserve team, because it gives players, what people have got to realise, if I have 20 players, yeah, 4 or 5 of them players, or maybe 6 players, are not going to be playing every week, and they're not going to stay around. Yeah, so we have had a bit of a turnover in players this year, but unfortunately that's the way of non-league football. If you have a reserve side, the players that want to play for you will go and play in the reserve side if they've been injured, if they've been suspended, if they've lost a bit of form, you know. But unfortunately we haven't got that luxury, and I don't think that'll happen for the next couple of years with the finances, because I believe a reserve side does cost quite a bit of money. You know, so unfortunately we don't have one, but yeah, I would love one, and I'm sure the football club would love one, but where would they play, what league would they be in? You know, it's a couple of years.
Yeah, it's not quite as straightforward as sometimes it's made out by certain people that mention it, and you can understand why they're bringing it up, but maybe not as straightforward as they suggest. Now, I've seen on the forum we've got some trials, and I think we had some last year, didn't we, Steve, as well, some trials for players to come down if they're interested in playing for the club. If I could ask both Steves, perhaps just to run through, you know, how that benefits as you as a manager and from the board's perspective, are any arrangements in place for the trials this year?
Well, I mean, I don't know what date. There will be some trials this year, I'm sure there will, but I don't know what date they are. But from my point of view, I mean, I think it was the second year they had them last year. And they asked me if I wanted them, and I said, yeah, if we can get one player from the trials that comes through and gets into the first team, brilliant. And that has happened. The young lad, Matt Rigby, he has been absolutely fantastic all season. I don't just mean on the pitch. He's hardly ever missed training. He comes to away games when he's not involved. You know, the kid was 17 when he first started, and a lot of people kept asking me, why are you not playing him? Why are you not playing? And he wasn't ready. You know, and we've nurtured him all season, we've brought him in, we've sat him on the bench, we haven't put him on, and I think the last 20 games, I think he's been involved in about 18 of them, and he's come on leaps and bounds. He's still got a long way to go, you know, he's still got a lot to learn. You know, we, on Monday night when Barry Shuttleworth failed his fitness test, I could have easily put Steve Pickup centre-half and Simon Myers go left-back, but, you know, we played young Matt, and, you know, he sent me a text message Tuesday saying, I hope I never let you down yesterday, and he didn't for 1 minute, you know, and he's the, so, the trials last year have been successful. I spoke to all the players on Wednesday. We've got the Player of the Year due tomorrow night, and we've got all the players, Player of the Year. And young Matt was well up there, you know what I mean? I think he came about fourth, you know, so even the players are thinking he's doing very well. So the trials last year have been very successful.
Yeah, from our point of view, the actual organisational side of things, we haven't got a date set as yet, but we have got some of the groundwork in progress, I should say. We're going to do things slightly differently this year than we've done in previous years. Previous years we've had sort of little slips and things on the bottom of posters and stuff. So we're going to allow people to text through their details so that they can subscribe to the trials. So hopefully that'll make life a bit easier for people, so they don't need to put pen to paper. They can just send us a text, and we'll have all the details from them that way. But they'll be running pretty much the same sort of style as we've done before, where we don't necessarily publicise the venue in the first place. We invite people to apply, and that just means that we can keep an eye on the numbers, because obviously it's there's no good if we end up with too many people there, so that we can't actually manage to see everybody. So we can potentially arrange two sessions if we've got too many people, and obviously it helps if the numbers are roughly kind of divisible by 11, so that we can, you know, set up a couple of matches and not have too many people just stood around waiting for their turn.
Contact the studio on 01928 835 291.
OK, you're listening to the Friday Sports Show. We've got some guests in this week from Runcorn Linnets talking about all things football-related. Two of the guests in the studio, of course, are board members. Mark, you joined the board this year. How's it gone for you so far?
It's an absolute eye-opener, Mike, to tell you the truth. And I would encourage every fan to do it, if it was possible. You don't realise, and I don't think 99% of the people involved in Runcorn Linnets know just how much work's going on behind the scenes. And I was flabbergasted from the first moment I went to the first meeting. And it is an exciting ride and an enjoyable ride. Loved every minute of up to yet. It's been tough for me as a fan, because it's dead easy to put your shirt on and stand there with your pie shouting behind the goal, and I realise next season I'm probably going to have to help Lynn Johnston out a little bit more than I have done in the latter weeks of this season, when it's been too easy just to get singing. But it's been fabulous up to yet, and really enjoying it. But I know I've got to do a bit more work next season.
Yeah, and Steve, in terms of the board there, I mean, we've mentioned this before when you've been on the show previously, they give you tremendous support as a manager from a club's point of view.
Yeah, they've been fantastic, and I'm not just saying that because Steve and Marcus sat next to me. Everything we've asked for this season, you know, they've bent over backwards to help me out, whether it be from a coach trip to Alsager, or, you know, we want to try and bring a certain player in. They've been fantastic, you know, they've bought the players' tracksuits. Okay, they're not the best tracksuits in the world, but I think we'll be back to wearing shirt and tie next year. But yeah, they've been really good. You know, from Derek right down to, like I say, Mark's just joined now. So, but we still want Mark singing on the terraces next year, definitely.
Okay, fantastic. I mean, obviously from the board downwards within the club, there's plenty of ways that the listeners to the show and the fans who want to perhaps do so, or have done in the past, support the club, right down from attending games. But a couple of things I've noted here. Perhaps, Steve, if you could comment. There are various ways that people can help the club. But we've got one guy in the studio who does so, running the Run Call in its tote, Mike Scowcroft. But there are plenty of sponsorship deals out there and ground fund initiatives. Do you want to run through just perhaps a couple of those for us?
I can do. I mean, we have to be careful that we don't necessarily just sound as though we want people to keep putting their hands in their pockets.
Yeah, which sure.
Which we do, obviously. But, you know, there's jobs on a match day that need to be handled. So, you know, everything from sort of the stewards through to somebody on the turnstiles, all that kind of stuff. You know, you need people to do it, and we're not in a position to employ people to do that. So it's all on a voluntary basis. And it's not always easy to get volunteers. Yep, plenty of people who are sort of happy to criticise about the lack of something, or you know, they're happy to give you ideas about organising events for fundraising and stuff. But when it actually comes down to it, they're not so keen to get involved and actually sort of organise the things that they're saying we should organise. So, you know, it's there are things on the website to, you know, if you want to sponsor players and. Buy bricks for the ground and all that kind of stuff, but I normally give that a bit of a plug, but there's the other side of it as well, and as far as you know, the club has a lot of jobs that it needs to do. Not all of them are on match days. It may be that you know, somebody might be able to take a day off and perhaps go around local businesses and see if they want an advert for the programme, that kind of stuff. That, you know, there's plenty of things that can be done that don't necessarily involve you having to put your hand in your pocket.
Yeah, one of those things, of course, Mark, is the cricket event that you've organised on behalf of the club. Do you want to give out the details of that?
I've got to say, first, it was Dave Rose's idea.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Dave Rose.
You'll do me if I don't say that. But it's a good idea, anyway. It's that week, Sunday, the 24th of May.
Yeah, 24th.
It's bank holiday weekend, so everybody can imbibe a few beverages. But what's going to happen is, Runcorn Cricket Club in Molan Lane are going to play the Linnets at cricket. We're well aware that it's the last game of the Premiership season, so we're going to try and work that in somehow as well. So what we're looking at is a game of 2020. It's going to start at 2 o'clock. The Linnets team is going to be made up of various dignitaries, one of which I'm pleased to say is sat next to me, Mr. Wilkes. We've asked a few ex-players. We've not had a lot of luck with ex-players at the minute, but if any are listening and want to get involved, if you're involved with the Linnets in any way, you're welcome to come down and play a match against Runcorn Cricket Club. It's something that we need to get going on an annual basis. Runcorn Cricket Club and the chairman there of the cricket section, Steve Gill, have spoke to Mrs. Pendlebury, and we want to play for the Brian Pendlebury Trophy, if we may. Brian was a great stalwart of both the cricket team and of Runcorn Football Club, and I think it'd be a great thing to play in memory of him. There's going to be a barbecue. The players are going to come out to their own music like they do on the telly. And we're going to wear yellow and green, and they're going to wear blue. And it should be a good day. Barbecue and a few beers. And Sue Bell will no doubt be down with a bucket and a raffle, a bag of raffle tickets for everybody and a bottle of scotch to raffle off. And it should be a good day.
Has Steve picked his music yet? Have you got something lined up for him?
Well, I've got plenty of things lined up for Steve that he's not unaware of. He's putting on the wicket-keeping gloves, but he doesn't know that yet. And it's what we'd like to do sometime in the close season is maybe reverse it and invite Runcorn Cricket Club to come and take us on at footy. But that's in the pipeline. It's still all in the pipeline. The posters are done and ready to go up. It's just having the final finishing touches being put to it. But it was a great idea from, and that's what Steve Pritchard's getting on about here. That's an idea from a fan. You know, and that's where it's going to come from. The club's not going to get to great heights in blocks of £100,000. It's going to do it pound by pound. It's all right having a massive dream, but at the end of the day, we're going to have to sell raffle tickets and work hard to get us up the pyramid. And we've got the people there to do it. I know we have.
Okay, contact details. If anyone wants to play in that game, who do they get hold of and how can they do that?
They can give me a shout. I'll go through the contact us on the website. It's fine, isn't it? That always gets to where it should be.
Yeah, all the stuff comes through and it'll be passed on to the appropriate place.
We can say runconlinnetsfc.com now, can't we?
We can, yes. We've got the .com finally after a couple
of years.
And go
to contact us and just leave your details and we'll... There's going to be a lot of people wanting to play for the Linnets, so obviously we're going to have to pick and choose a little bit, but we can have a few rolling subs and things like that. And
yeah, well, of course, now they've heard that Steve's playing as well, there'll be a bit more demand for places in the team.
There'll be a deluge.
A deluge.
Sure.
I don't think so.
We're going to get... Are we talking about the end of season awards tomorrow?
Yeah, what's coming on to that next, of course.
Because we're going
to
get a few players, a few drinks down them and rope a few more players in tomorrow night. They don't know it yet.
Is that the plan of attack for tomorrow
Absolutely.
Night? Absolutely. Okay, do you want to cover the presentation evening, what's happening tomorrow night, where it is, how people can get tickets?
The presentation evening is at the Masonic Hall tomorrow evening.
York Street, isn't it?
York Street, yeah. And basically it's... tickets are £5, and we've got refreshments included in that, and there'll be a bit of dancing, bit of singing, a quiz, you know, just general merriment, and a few awards handed out, and should be a good night. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and lots of the players will be there as well, so it makes it even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic stuff. Just looking ahead to the next season, obviously a lot of people took up the club's offer of a season ticket prior to the season starting. Is there any news on that front? Have we got any season tickets lined up, or dates when they'll be available, and so forth?
Not as yet. Normally that sort of comes up in the meetings that we have over the summer.
I only finished this season 4 days ago.
It's a bit premature, possibly, but obviously the season tickets will be on offer as soon as, and We'll investigate the possibility of a half-season ticket as well. Again, we normally do the half-season ticket around Christmas to take people through to the end of the year, because that tends to make quite a good Christmas present. But we'll have a look again at the feasibility of having a half-season ticket take us up to sort of the end of the year as well.
Okay, fantastic. We're in the studio with the guests from Runcorn Linnets. We'll play our second tune of the evening, take a short break. This is Jennifer Hudson and Spotlight, and we'll be back with you in a minute or two.
Contact the studio on 01928 835 291.
You're listening to the Friday Sports Show on 92.3 FM, Halton Community Radio. The time's just coming up to 10 to 8. Steve, we've had a chat about many things to do with the club. I'm sure the listeners would just like a quick update on the ground fund.
Yes, we broke the £77,000 mark this week with the addition of the funds that we raised on the sponsored walk a couple of weekends ago, which was great.
How much was that, Steve?
I think it was roughly... We haven't had all of it in yet, so it could well go up again, but I think it was about 1,400 that we put up, but it's likely to be sort of nearer 1,500, I think, by the time we get it all
in.
Yeah,
it's a great effort, isn't it? It's something I've promised
Fantastic,
to do
yeah.
time and time again and never got round to.
Do it with me next year.
For obvious reasons. But it might be good for my fitness levels. So the ground fund up to 77,000, and that's a great effort by everybody concerned.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you know, every time I come on, I sort of say that we're very grateful for everybody that contributes to that, as we are. And as Mark said, it's a case that we'll need to take that up bit by bit to manage to reach our goal.
Okay, fantastic. Another email we've had in for Steve Wilkes. Just taking a look at the number of cups, and we've had great success in the cup competitions this season. As a manager, when you're looking at the league fixtures and cup competitions that the club faces, is it difficult to move the squad around and weigh up where the priorities lie as a manager?
Not really, but I mean, a lot of the cups come beginning of the season, and the FA Cup and the FA Vars are vitally important for the club, because each round you get you're progressing, you get X amount of pounds, which is vital for the club. So, but like I say, they come early on in the season. I think the FA Cup extra preliminary round usually comes the week after the season starts. So you have one league game Saturday, then Tuesday, then bang, you into an FA Cup game on the Saturday. So, and last year I think we did quite well in the FA Vars. We had the club a little bit of money. The FA Vars is the one that, for a club like Runcorn, you know, you look at, hopefully you get a decent draw, you need a bit of luck. I mean, Glossop have just gone to Wembley and they'll have made X amount of pounds, and that's what it's all about at this level. So, and then you've got your Cheshire Cups and your Cheshire Senior Cups. You know, I think there's 8 teams enter them. Then you've got the League Cup that we entered. So, there is a lot of cups. And it does have its toll on you. I mean, I was talking to a gentleman on the way down. I think the Cup game should be played during the week so you can get the league games out of the way. Because otherwise you get a backlog like we did, and we played 16 games. I think it was 36 days, so a bit tough.
60 games in total this season.
Yeah, 60 games in total. It's a big ask, isn't it?
Yeah, that's more than Man United will play when they win the European Cup. Did you know that?
If.
When?
Hey, it's a great link that... We've spoken local football, but we can't let the show end without having a quick chat about the national football, and particularly this week's Premier League fixtures and the title running at the top and bottom of the table. Steve, one more point needed. I went to the match against Wigan on Wednesday, and I thought, man, you were a bit lucky, really, to come out with 3 points from that one, but it leaves them with just a point needed from the match against Arsenal. Is it on Sunday or tomorrow?
Saturday, yeah. 12:45 tomorrow. I think without sounding arrogant as a Man United fan, watching the game on Wednesday, and I don't want this to come across as I'm being arrogant, I always felt like they was going to score. You know, because when you've got players like Tevez and Ronaldo and Rooney, and even Giggs coming on, and, you know, Berbatov, they always look like they're going to score. And I think the opposition team knows that as well.
Yep.
You know, and you can see them going further and further back, and the two goals to score were tremendous, and hopefully they can finish the job tomorrow.
Yeah, two matches left, home against Arsenal, but if need be, away at Hull. I mean, that could be a tricky game. If Hull's still looking for a few points on the last day, would you prefer to get it wrapped up this week?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, I've got tickets to go and watch tomorrow, so I hope they do it tomorrow. But I think if they do it tomorrow, then it can rest everybody against the whole game for the...
See, we don't want them doing that, do we?
Then they can rest everybody for the whole game. So
why would that be?
Well, there's other clubs in the predicament with Hull that would like Man United to put out a full-strength squad against Hull, I think.
I mean, they've got to get the point tomorrow. It won't be easy because Arsenal have something to prove from the European excursion the other week. So hopefully they can do it and then take the foot off the pedal a bit.
Okay, bottom of the table. We've got a few teams there. West Bromwich Albion.
Down.
Middlesbrough.
Down.
Is it going to say for this one? Hull City.
Down.
Okay, so we've got Newcastle, Sunderland, Portsmouth and...
Very lucky, all three of them.
Burn, what do you think?
I think Hull have been in free-for-all. I mean, I said 6-7 weeks ago that, you know, they needed to start winning the game, and they haven't. I think they've won 1 in 18, you know, which is unbelievable form, really. And like I said, they've got Man United a week on Saturday, and they've got Bolton away tomorrow, and they're not easy. You know, so, I can see Hull going down.
Should we go around the room? Predictions for the bottom three, Mark? You think it's going to be...
West Brom, Middlesbrough, Hull.
West Brom, Middlesbrough, Hull, Steve?
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me.
Unfortunately, I think Mark's going to be right, so...
Yeah, I think you might be right there. I mean, just looking at one team in the bottom part of the table there, Newcastle. I mean, some people are saying it's unthinkable if a club of that stature get relegated. Some people say it'll do them a good to have a season in the Championship. Have you got any take on that?
Well, I mean, people think that they're too big to go down, and they've brought Mr. Shearer in as the manager, and I think he's realised that managing at whatever level you're doing is not as easy as it looks. You know, they got the result on Monday. I didn't see the game because obviously we were playing, so by all accounts Middlesbrough were poor on Monday.
We've been poor for a long while.
So
what's your take on Gareth Southgate then, and the way that Steve Gibson's stood by him? It's marvellous, really.
Yeah, I think you need to ask Middlesbrough fans more on that, because from looking from the outside, it's fantastic to have a chairman like Steve Gibson that, you know, if they do get relegated, he's going to stand by him. But as a Middlesbrough fan, do you want, is he too nice? Has he got the best out of the players, you know? I think only Middlesbrough fans who watch them week in, week out can answer that question.
I don't watch him week in, week out, but I...
But?
I...
He's too nice.
He's definitely too nice. You don't want your manager. Mm. All right, he's obviously a very intelligent man, and he's very good in interviews, and he's doing his badges. Nothing against Gareth Southgate. I like the bloke, but you want your manager to be a winner.
Mm.
You want your manager to be the bloke that scores that penalty in a World Cup match, don't you? And it all adds together for me. And I just think he's a bit nice, and, you know, everybody likes him, yeah, but we're in the bottom three. You know what I mean? We need to kick on, and we haven't done it this year. I don't mind going down into the Championship because we've had a lot of good times there already, and I know we're capable of getting back out of it.
Yeah.
We as in Middlesbrough.
I want to give a special mention. We're looking at the the Championship, of course. Wolverhampton Wanderers and Birmingham promoted from the Championship. But the final at Wembley, the Championship playoff final, Steve, Burnley. What's your take on that one against Sheffield United?
Well, I think Sheffield United are a big, strong side, but I've got a feeling for Burnley. I watched them at Reading on, I think it was Tuesday night, scored two fantastic goals. But I think it was the way the manager set the team out that impressed me more than anything. Took everything in the first half, and then came out the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, second half, gave it a real good goal, got the goal, and as soon as he scored, the game's over.
Burnley have come up with results all season, haven't they, in games that mattered, in big cup games. And
yeah, and I think
Burnley Preston would have made a great final.
Oh, yeah.
It really would have made a good final.
Yeah. I'd have missed the cricket, though, if that had been the song Glad Preston.
I'd have forgive you. I've been with you.
But I think you've got to look at someone like Graham Alexander. He's 38 years of age and has never missed a minute's Championship football all season. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it'd be the first time, of course, that Burnley have played in the top tier since, I believe, 1976, so it'd be great for the town as well. Okay, well, thanks very much. We're running short of time. I think we've got 2 or 3 minutes left on the show. Do you want to pass on perhaps a final message to the listeners, perhaps those of Runcorn Linnets for the season ahead, what they can expect, what they can look forward to the next season, any plans that you've got, player changes, etc., etc.?
There'll definitely be player changes, mate. I mean, yeah, from a personal point of view, I'd like to thank the fans that have stood by us through such a good season, shall we say. It has been difficult, and like I said earlier, I've learnt so much. I'll come back next year as a better manager. I've made mistakes this season. The players have made mistakes this season, so if we can learn from them and move on, when I can bring in a better clientele of player for next season, then hopefully this time next year when we're doing this, we've got something to cheer about. But there will be improvement and definitely player movement.
Yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic, Steve. I know you live quite a distance away from the studios here, and I'd like to thank you on behalf of everyone listening to the show for taking the time, as you always have done, to come down and support the radio station. And we very much look forward to seeing you at the club next year.
My pleasure.
Mark, any final thoughts?
Listening to the Sunday Sports Show 4 till 6 on Sunday for a full Runcorn Sunday League review of the season. That I'm not going to do tonight, obviously. And we're learning together, Runcorn Linnets. We're all learning together. We're building together. Anyone's won a DVD? Has anyone won a DVD?
I think we'll give those to the caller. Was it Paddy that phoned in at the start of the show?
Yeah.
Steve, do you want to give out the result? The number of hits that the Runcorn Linnets website had last Monday.
Yes, on Monday we actually had 7,593 page hits.
And 6,500 of them were me.
So, yeah, that was quite good, I think.
Okay, fantastic stuff. About a minute of the show to go. Don't forget to tune into the sports show on Sunday between 4 and 6, and stay tuned to 92.3 for Pete Goward. He's up next. We'll see you next week.